Along those lines, is the debate over whether Buddha nature is definitive or provisional still ongoing in Tibetan communities? Are there Gelug or Sakya authors who today consider Buddha nature to be provisional?
Well, when you read the texts, of course, there are different approaches to deal with Buddha nature. I mean, if you don't take the Tathagatagarbha doctrine at face value, I mean, either you say, oh, it is like just a synonym of emptiness. You have this passage in the Lankavatara Sutra where Mahamati, challenges the Buddha and says, well, you are teaching of a Buddha nature with all like major and minor marks. They are similar, or they are like a heretic doctrine. And so the Buddha says, Buddha nature is emptiness, So he equates it, yeah. And I have made use of the word Buddha nature just to like attract a certain group of disciples, and not to scare away people who are afraid of emptiness. But he said Buddha nature is emptiness. So like one way of looking at it is saying, well, Buddha nature is just a synonym of emptiness. But then the question arises, how do you understand emptiness? And when you look at the Lankavatara, it is a Yogacara type of emptiness. It's kind of positively understood emptiness. You have luminous emptiness and things like that. But what the Gelugpas do, they understand emptiness the way Chandrakirti takes it, as a migak, as a non-implying negation. And then if you say, well, Buddha nature is a synonym of non-implying negation, then you can say it has definitive meaning. I mean, that's what they do,
I
And
see.
the Sakyapas, they say, or Sakya Pandita and Bhutan Rinchen Drob, they take Buddha nature teaching at face value. They say, well, it has all the qualities, and but this teaching has provisional meaning. So that's two different strategies, to explain away Buddha nature, if you want. And yes, of course, this is what they do, I mean, and they are convinced of that, and they would not accept any other like strategy of interpreting it. Like when you go to a Gelug center, and well, this is how they explain it, and if you stand up and then say, well, but Dolpopa said, or Mikyo Dorje said, well, I don't know. I mean, they don't do what we are doing, they don't compare different hermeneutical systems. It's not very much appreciated, by any Tibetan school. Because, hermeneutical systems only work if they are exclusive, you explain, why the Buddha gave a teaching with a certain intention and why it is provisional. And then you have to really follow that and accept it. Now, if you come up with something else, and say, well, it has definitive meaning, and the teaching of Nagarjuna has provisional meaning, well, you have a problem then. I think that's why the Gelugpas didn't like the Chonangpas, because it really challenged it. It's not only, that you say, I prefer the Maitreya works and the Shantong, but they reinterpret it, or they have their own hermeneutics for the whole Buddhist doctrine, and it includes also interpreting Nagarjuna and Chandrakirti in a particular way. And that's completely opposed to what the Gelugpas are doing, So that's one of the reasons why they locked up their texts, and didn't allow them to be studied, So it's a bit tricky, the whole thing. And like a few a month ago, I had an interview with my university here, and then they published, the interview on their homepage, and I had posted it on Facebook. And there was not a big, but a small shitstorm, coming from the Buddhist community, like, oh, they
Really?
didn't like, that, oh, you can look at this in this way and that way, like it's either provisional or definitive. And, the Sakyas are doing that, the Gelugpas are doing that, and then you have the Mahamudra interpretation of it. And so, it's maybe not, easy for traditional Buddhists to take that.
The debate is alive and well then.
Well, very much alive, yeah.